not necessarily into the whole father of the year thing or best dad ever and all the other things like that exist in the world. This is not to say that one day I will not be. In fact, I'm fully confident that I will continue evolving. And as I continue to level up in my dad joke ability, hierarchy, capabilities, I bet that I will soon be walking around with Father of the Year merch or a mug or a bumper sticker or shirts, whatever. Maybe all of it. Maybe I'll get totally decked out and suited up in all Father of the Year or Best Dad Ever type stuff. But I wanted to talk about, because I thought about that. I'm always thinking. I don't know about you. Are you always thinking? Are our brains always working, which of course they are. But I'm always coming up with just stuff pops into my mind. And it pops in, I think, well, maybe that's something I want to think about and write about or do a podcast about. So here we are. And obviously, we are right at the beginning of 2025 and in that area where I'll probably write 2024 a good dozen times before I figure out that it's actually 2025. So good on me for being able to articulate that the year is, in fact, 2025. But just struck me, Father of the Year, best dad, best mom. Is that something that you are into? What would it take for you to get there? Do you think that it's true? Is it fun? What is kind of the deal there? And then, are you a New Year's resolution kind of a person? Are you into that? Is it fun? Are you a goal setting kind of a person? I'm guessing you probably are because you're here listening to me talk about that kind of stuff, and I'm very much into that kind of stuff. And then I wanted to sort of marry it with another idea that popped into my head and found its way into my email that I wanted to build and elaborate on. That of what I wrote down was, why not live an actual life? Why not? Why not do that? Why lead a BS type life? And most people, most men, most women lead lives of quiet desperation. The majority of humanity's problems stem from our inability to sit quietly in a room by ourselves. So we are terrified of being alone in our own heads, which is why we pacify ourselves with social media, just everything that we pacify ourselves with. And I'm not totally bagging on fun, frivolous things. I'm not totally bagging on fantasy football and online gambling and just sports in general, or Wordle or crosswords or whatever it is we use to burn or kill time. I think that all of that is fine if all of that is what you truly want. But the idea of living an actual life to me comes down to doing it on my terms, doing it on my terms as much as I possibly can, and doing what it is that I want. Not only doing it on my terms, it's doing what I want on my terms. It's being able to think about wanting to be able to think about what I want my life to look like and then actually take action on it and be working towards bringing that desired future into my current reality. Living an actual life. What is it that I want? What is it that I want? What are you talking about? Well, I get it. You are struggling to do everything that you already need to be doing. We are all full of obligation and responsibility. We are all managing extreme pressure and stress and anxiety. And we've all got giant bills to pay, and things are way more expensive than they were. And you've got soccer games to go to, and whatever. I absolutely get it. Life is overwhelming. It is smashing us. It is crushing us by every metric. We are getting smashed. So, more important than ever to ask ourselves, what is, why not live an actual life? Why not live a life closer to my terms? And here's the thing. I know we can't just go and snap our fingers and all of a sudden, oh, I'm doing exactly what I want whenever I want. I'm not saying that. I'm not a total moron. I'm a partial moron. There's no question about that. Partial is, that is on a continuum, same as you. So I'm not saying we all of a sudden quit our job and grow our hair out and grow a beard and go through some kind of midlife crisis. What I am saying is, let's spend a little bit of time thinking about what it is that you want your life to look like, and then moving incrementally closer to what that might be. So it could be 1 hour a week, and that could turn into an hour a day, and it could go from there. So I'm asserting and I'm advocating that that is possible for you. It's possible for me. You don't need to be dad of the year or whatever. It could just be, this is time that I have allocated because I've made the decision that this is what I want to be doing, and then I actually do it. Is that possible? I think that it is. So why not try and live an actual life on your terms, knowing full well that you are operating under all the different pressures that I just talked about, knowing full well that you are living under systems and assumptions of the way that you were raised, your family's expectations on you, the career that you have, the social network that you're involved with, your church, synagogue, mosque, whatever it might be. You've got all the people that you've known for such a long time, and they've known you to be the kind of person that you are, which I'm sure is a really high quality person. My only point is that whenever we start changing and start doing things that are different, it's not easy to do that. Just because we are following familiar patterns and habits, we do things a lot the same way. So all of a sudden you start doing something different and it's going to freak everybody out. That's fine. But we've got one crack at this, as you know, I'm fond of saying. So I assert that the life that you want, whatever that might be, is a lot closer than you think that it is. And I'm super fond of saying that the only way to live how you want is to know how you want to live. So I'm not going to go through that whole deal again because I've talked about that ad nauseum. I will invite you to pick up a copy of the Purpose Book. It is free. You can go to moneyalignmentacademy.com, go to courses, and you can get a free digital copy of the Purpose Book. Purpose Book course. It's not an actual course, whatever. You go there, you'll find a digital copy of it. You can get your hands on it, or you can shoot an email to me, and I'm happy to send it to you. And that is your guide to an examined and aligned life. So it'll walk you through the process of trying to figure out all this stuff that I've just been talking about. So assert that that is available to you. But for today, I want to talk about time, because boy, oh boy, now that I've got 3 kids, 8, 5, and a 19-month-old, give or take, I wonder, what in the world did I do with all my time 8.5 years ago? What was I doing? Because I sure it seems that I don't have very much of it today, but I had a whole lot more of it back then. So having kids or taking on a new obligation or responsibility, just having lots of stuff that you need to be doing, will give you a really strong sense of just how finite time is. And that's one of those things that's so obvious, it's intellectually obvious, but theory meets practice, totally different deal. We all know, got 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year. Life expectancy of somebody in the United States of America is probably around 80 or 82 years old. So you get that, but do we really get it? You understand it, but do you really get it? You know it, but do you really get it? How do you get that to sink, to hit home? And oftentimes it does take some kind of an event, a health condition, somebody that you know that has some sort of an event, or you witness a terrible tragedy or accident, and that quickens us, that hastens us. It catalyzes us to realize, holy cow, my eyes, the scales have fallen away from my eyes. I totally get it now. I've got to act with a greater sense of urgency. I need to have a deeper appreciation for the amount of time that I have. More importantly, it's how that I'm spending my time, how I'm allocating my time. Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich and lots of other wonderful books, he says, tell me how you spend your time and I'll tell you where you'll be in 10 years. And I think that that's truer words never spoken. So tell me how you spend your time and I'll tell you where you'll be in 10 years. So before I go any further, I am not advocating for some kind of an infinity war where you're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you're locked in all the time. That's not it at all. Not it at all. What I am advocating for is that you are operating with intentionality and that you're making good, logical, conscious decisions about these things. If you decide to take the day off and lay on the couch, great, do that. The whole thing is this, if it's just your resting heart rate and it's just what you do is roll out of bed on a Saturday and go flip on the TV and just lay there all day, that's just kind of what you do. Well, that's a different program. So not saying, and that's not hustle porn. I'm not telling you to go as hard as you can for as long as you can at all. Not at all. What I am saying is let's make some conscious decisions about how you want to be spending your time and make sure that how you're spending your time is in service of what it is that you truly want. That's the whole idea of alignment is this is what I want. This is how I'm spending my time, energy, attention, money. I talk a lot about our most valuable resources of those four things, time, attention, energy, and money. And I think my whole thing at this point, I've been thinking about it for a long time, is a happy life is found when you make decisions on how you allocate those four things. And you allocate them in ways that are aligned to what is of greatest value to you, what it is that you want, what is most important to you. If you can do that, if you can do that, and if you can get it right 80% of the time, mess around with it, screw up on it, blow off 20% of it, I think that you'll be in good shape. I think that that's true of the way we eat. I think it's true of the way we move our body and exercise. I think it's true of the way that we, who and what we allow into our heads, so what we give our attention to, and also how we spend our money. So keep that in mind here. 80%. I'm going to circle back on that. It's the whole Pareto distribution, 80-20, which I'm confident that you're familiar with. But if you are a person, as I think that we all are, says, oh my gosh, just not enough hours in the day. Where did the day go? This really got away from me today. Totally get it. So I think that the only way that we're really going to know if we're allocating our time appropriately is if we actually audit our time or look at our time. And it's something called a time audit. And it's a pretty straightforward process that just says, okay, I'm going to get a piece of paper out or a spreadsheet, and I'm going to go through and really track how I spend my time in 30-minute or 20-minute increments throughout the course of the day. So I'm going to have a plan for how I'm going to spend my time. But then I'm also going to actually map out and write down midway through the day and at the end of the day how we actually spent our time. And that will be direct evidence. What you think you're doing and what you're actually doing, I think, are two different things. And while I said it's a straightforward and simple exercise, that doesn't make it a non-terrifying exercise, because I really think that it is, because I think that you're going to find some horrible stuff. I think that you're going to find, like the rest of us, that we waste a ton of time. We waste a ton of time. And I love the notion, I love being a self-manager. I'm an entrepreneur. I've really never had a boss. And so I've always been a self-manager. That doesn't mean that it's been inherent, although I think that I am inherently a very, very driven person where everybody is not necessarily. But self-management, that simply means that I don't need anybody to tell me where to go, what to do, what to be thinking about. I want to be in charge of that. But it's a skill. It's a trait. It's a muscle that you can strengthen like all others. And if you don't use it, then it atrophies like all others. So it's a very, very worthwhile exercise. It is a pure example of self-knowledge and of self-management, actually knowing how it is that we are spending our time. So I think it's such a valuable exercise. And again, it can be certainly a frightening one. There's a reality that most people's minds wander half the time. So think about that one. And I remember the first time I heard that, I thought, well, there's no way that my mind wanders half the time. And if you're a successful person, you probably have a very, very, very busy and active mind. Got lots of ideas that you want to pursue, and they're just bouncing around. We call it this monkey brain. And when you actually take stock of it, you're like, oh yeah, turns out my mind is wandering a lot. So if you're a person who said or has said recently, there's just not enough hours in the day, I think I assert again, submit, there are plenty of hours in the day. If you can just get focused or more focused, better focused, you will be able to get a lot more done in the same amount of time because you're doing more focused, deep work, as Cal Newport likes to talk about. And I also think that it's really critical that we know what is of the highest and best use of our time. Do you know what the highest and best use of your time is? I think a lot of it is simply, what is most important to me? What are the areas that are most important? What are the things that are most important? And how can I spend more time doing those things and getting rid of other things? What are of the highest priority to me based on the life that I actually want? So if you want to be greatest dad ever, dad of the year, what's that going to take? And I want to spend more time on that in just a minute. But circling back briefly on the Pareto distribution, the idea of that, that 20% of our activities are going to get 80% of the results. 20% of the salespeople in an organization are going to sell 80% of the product. 20% of the people who pay income tax pay 80% of it. It just is true all across the board. A small percentage of artists make the vast majority of the money. Small percentage of artists make vast majority of the art. It's just been true across history. You can look at it in business, across every arena or avenue of life. Small number of people create and do most of the heavy lifting, the creation. It's interesting. The Pareto distribution also talks a lot about a concept which is so fundamental and so important to being an efficient person. And if you're at all curious or intrigued by this idea of living an actual life and living the life that you actually want, I think that this is a critical thing. The idea is this, that there are a trivial many versus a vital few. So these are the different activities that you engage in. Trivial many, vital few. The vital few, those are those highest priorities. Those are the activities, the 20% that's going to get you what you want. The trivial many is, this is BS that we engage in because it feels good. It's dopamine. It's zoning out. It's scrolling through social media. It's whatever. There are an infinite number of ways to burn time and attention and money and energy, but only a few that are really going to get you what you want. So I think it's imperative that we have a pretty good understanding of what the vital few activities, thoughts, things are that are going to get you what you want. So I break it down. I like to think about, because this is abstract, right? This is abstract. It's like if somebody says, well, what should we do for dinner tonight? It's like, oh my gosh, it's just such a massive universe. Well, can we narrow that down a little bit? Let's just go someplace close. Okay, that's a way to narrow it down. Or you know what sounds great? I could really go for sushi tonight. Okay, that certainly narrows it down. I'd like to sit outside. I'd like to have a view. I'd like someplace quiet, right? So all these different parameters you can place, and that's going to help us to zero it or to narrow it down. So for life, if I just said, what makes a real life? What's a meaningful life? What does a great life look like? An actual life? What is that going to look like? Well, I think that it's helpful if we break it down into these six areas that I talk about. First is family. So what's important to you from a family perspective, from your community, from a career and financial standpoint, for a well-being perspective, from a personal development standpoint, and then finally from a peace of mind standpoint. So what are the vital few activities, knowing that you sat down and you wrote down what you want in each one of those areas? Let's say I do want to be dad of the year. I want to be the best dad ever. Okay. Well, if that's important to me, then what do I need to be doing in order to make that happen? I want to be able to spend time with each one of my kids one-on-one. I want to be able to do fun activities with all of them together. Want to be able to, whatever those things are, those are your vital few. And then for each of the six areas, you think about what are, number one, what do I want in this area? And then what are those vital few activities that are going to get me closer to that? Now, I don't know that you're going to be able to make it all happen. I don't know that you're going to be able to make all of that work. That's not the point. It's not making it all work. It's just, I know. I've done the work of figuring out what I want, what it's going to take to get there. And now I can figure out how to try and execute on it. And maybe I try, like I was talking about at the beginning, a little bit at a time. How do I squeeze a little bit in? You figure that out. You create habits around these things. It just becomes what you do. It becomes part of the fabric of your life and who you are and what you do as a family. So you create your list of activities. Then you try to find the time for it. You look for stuff to cut out. You start paying close attention to how it is you're currently spending your time. You figure out how to be more focused with the time that you have. You figure out how to get rid of or stop doing the trivial many. Like, okay, look at that. I spent 3 hours today on freaking Netflix, or I spent 4 hours on freaking Instagram. Okay. Maybe only spend 3 hours on Instagram instead of four. You get the idea. And I don't know the answer to these questions. I want you to be able to answer these questions. So you're looking to eliminate, looking to add the good, get rid of the bad, break bad habits, how to create beneficial ones. I think in a lot of ways, this is the ultimate form and expression of personal leadership, which is really self-management. So again, how do you do this? I think it's figuring out what a perfect day looks like. And you say, okay, maybe it's not all going to work like that. What does a perfect week look like? What does a perfect month look like? What does a great quarter look like? And then we're really on to something. And just a brief reminder again that Thomas Sowell famously said that there's no solutions, there's only trade-offs. So it's never a right answer to these questions, and it's never done. We are always going to be revisiting because life's going to change. I mean, everybody says that being a parent goes really fast. And I don't think that that's not true, because it certainly is. But before you know it, your kid's going to be out of the house, and then it's going to be you or you and your spouse or whoever it is. And obviously you're going to be going to fewer baseball games probably, or fewer soccer games. So everything's going to change again, and your preferences will change. Maybe you retire. What are you going to do then? So it's always, you're going to be refining and always, always, always changing. So it's never done. It's always wise to be paying close attention to how we're allocating our most valuable resources of time, energy, attention, and money. And then finally, I want to close with this. I was listening to a podcast recently, and the person said, take action, surrender outcome. And I'm sure that I've heard something along those lines before, but I think that that was pretty profound, particularly when we're talking about trying to do something that is new and trying to do something that is important, but really hard. Time. How do I manage my time and my thinking and everything else? How do I make it all work and get it all done? All you can do is throw it out there, put one foot in front of the other, but then surrender the outcome. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to work. Nobody does. I don't even know if the freaking lights or the internet's going to work tomorrow. I don't have any idea. It's a lot going on in the world, as you of course know. But all we can do is take action. We surrender the outcome, knowing that I don't have control over it. All I have control over is the actions that I take and how I feel, respond, think about circumstances in my life. And I keep swimming. Keep swimming. As always, do your part by doing your best.